fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we celebrate Halloween with three members of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, a group of very serious people who take scientific equipment out into the field in order to investigate reports of ghosts, hauntings, and contacts with the spirit world. I'm Glenn Moberg. Sean Blaschka, Angie Spilek, and Sharon Abbotts have not only investigated these reports and sightings, they have written and compiled a book detailing some of the paranormal hotspots in and around north central Wisconsin. The book, titled Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls, has been published by Haunted America, a division of the History Press. You may be surprised at what's in the book, a list of allegedly haunted locations, many of them prominent buildings and homes in the city itself, with stories of eyewitness accounts and troubled families and workers who have had the misfortune to encounter some of these unexplained occurrences. In the next hour, Sean, Angie, and Sharon will talk about these locations and talk about what they do when they're asked to investigate the paranormal, the equipment they use, the methodology they use, and the way they interpret their findings. Well, what do you think? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you have a personal experience with a haunting, with a paranormal, or with something you just can't explain? What are your own choices for the top haunted hotspots in north central Wisconsin? Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. We'd love to hear from you. Our lines are wide open right now at 1-800-780-9742. Sean, Angie, and Sharon, how did you get involved with all of this stuff?
Well, I got involved long before Angie and Sharon. Back in 2000, I met a person that was actually operating the group at the time under a different name. That group only was around for about 6 months. And then over the next year, we changed our name, and I became a co-founder with that first founder of the group.
What got you personally involved, Sean?
When I was a kid, my dad used to tell me stories about the Plummer Mansion, which was the old Channel 7 studio, and he worked there. So he had experiences there, and so did lots of other people in the studio.
That mansion was a huge castle-like edifice. Now, I've never experienced it. I didn't move into the Wausau area until about 20 years ago, but I've seen pictures of it, and it used to house the Channel 7 studios back in the day.
Correct, right. And many people seen apparitions of Mr. and Mrs. Plummer, the actual owners of the mansion, and the people who built it. So you tell me these stories, and that spiked my interest as a child.
Did you have any personal experiences which made you think there might be something to this, and it's maybe something that you would want to explore further?
Yeah, I had experiences. I would say one of my first really monumental experience would have been good 15, 16 years ago when I was helping a person or one of my friends at Coney Market here in town, and I had seen something in the stockroom.
What did you see?
Well, while I was working back there, there was no one else back there but me and my coworker. And it was this time of the day. And I was baling cardboard with this other worker. And I looked up while baling that cardboard, and I noticed looked like head and shoulders forming, like a side profile of a person. You could see a head, the outline of a nose, a neck, and shoulders.
Just materializing in thin air.
Correct. And it like a snowy TV, it started out, and then it got very, very solid white with no features. And it was in the air the height of a person. And then it slowly dissipated away. It probably took maybe 10, 15 seconds it was there.
Now, you were working with somebody else. Did this other person see it too?
Yes. I actually
really?
Kind of did a double take and looked back, and it was still there. And I was going to tell my partner, and he already was staring at it with his mouth hanging open. So, yeah, we both saw it.
Any other reports at County Market of other people seeing an apparition of some reason why the grocery store might be haunted?
No other reports I've heard, but that's not uncommon. Sometimes people don't share things because they don't feel comfortable with it. But I do know, I found out like 3 years later, there was a worker that did pass away in that stockroom about 5 years prior.
Angie, let's move to you. Have you ever had any personal experiences with ghosts or the paranormal?
Well, I grew up in a house that I believed was haunted. It was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I used to hear someone calling my name when no one was there. Things would disappear and show up later in strange places. And that was really one of the main things that got me interested in paranormal.
And Sharon, how about you?
Well, I've been interested in the paranormal since I was a young child. I always heard stories from my mother about incidents that she thought that she had seen or been involved in paranormal activity, and it just piqued an interest in me. One of the interesting things, and it's in the story in the book about the Wausau Club, was shortly prior to it being closed down, I had gone to a wedding reception there, and I was searching for the lavatory, and I looked up a staircase, and I swore that I saw this beautiful Victorian-dressed woman with her hair piled high, and I was watching her, and she started to walk down the stairs, and I turned around to see if anyone was near and to see if someone else saw it, and no one was there. As soon as I turned back, she was gone.
Well, if any place should be haunted, it would probably be the Wausau Club with its history. Sharon, what got you together with these folks? How did the three of you come together to do this?
Well, I've only been involved with the group for about 3 years. I remember when it started and I saw a story about it in the newspaper, but I wasn't able to join at the time, and I kept thinking I'd like to if I had free time.
Angie, how about you?
Well, I have been studying paranormal activity for as long as I can remember, and when I moved to the Wausau area and found out about the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, I just started emailing Sean and waiting for there to be a spot open. Eventually, I lucked out.
Now, the three of you have been doing haunted Wausau tours over the past few weekends. Is that correct? On the weekends, right before Halloween?
Yes, we have been doing them for the past 2 weekends, and this upcoming Saturday is the last tour of the season. We meet downtown at the First American Center Plaza, and the tour is about 2 hours. We walk around. We talk about the history of haunted locations and the stories that we've heard over the years. A lot of the same information that's in our book.
And it's kind of really an eye-opener to think of how many places are allegedly haunted in downtown Wausau, how many places have histories and stories connected with them. Well, tell us about this book, Haunted Wausau. Sean, was this your brainchild, or did the three of you come up with it together, your co-authors?
The idea was my idea, along with a former co-director, Todd Roll. And we never got around to it, unfortunately. And over time, we've collected so much more information. And I would have to give the credit to Angie to getting us kick-started, however. Mm-hmm. She brought up the idea again, and then a publisher contacted us just out of the blue, which fit like a glove. So then we trudged forward.
Well, what is it about this city? Why does it have so many reports of haunted locations or paranormal experiences, paranormal hotspots?
I really don't have an exact answer for that. I mean, there is a lot of haunts within a close proximity downtown, which is unusual. Some people think it has to do with what's in the ground, with the quartzite or granite in the area, that it is conducive to holding energies and manifesting activity. you know, paranormal activity. So that's one theory. But honestly, mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just the rich history here that spirits just prefer to stay behind.
How do you respond, Sean, to the skeptics, the people who say that none of this is real, ghosts don't exist, and the three of you are simply trying to hoodwink people?
Well, you know, everyone has their own opinion, and we take it with a grain of salt. I don't have a problem with someone saying they don't believe in it, and I'm not out to make someone believe in something they don't believe in. I simply just put forward the facts and the truth of the matter. You know, and they have to make their own decisions or conclusions from what they read or what we tell them.
How about people who will tell you that the mind is a powerful thing and it can get you to believe all kinds of things? If you think you're going to see a ghost, you probably will see a ghost, even if there aren't any such things in the real world. And that the three of you, people would probably say that you've just deluded yourselves into believing this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my response to that would be, I guess seeing is believing. You would have to experience something to really truly understand it, or be in contact with the people we have over the years, to know that there's something more to what, people commonly believe out there.
Now, you actually bring scientific equipment out into the field with you in order to try to document whatever's occurring in these locations. Tell us about some of that equipment and how it helps you understand what people are experiencing.
We use different things like there are theoretical things that we use out there. We don't know really what detects a ghost. But in theory, changes in temperature are one thing. Okay.
Why is that?
It's thought that spirits use energy to manifest themselves or to show themselves. And while they use that energy, in some cases they use it in the form of heat energy out of the air. Therefore, the temperature sometimes drops when they pull that energy out of the air. Others think that they change the field, the magnetic field of a particular place where they're manifesting. So we use something called the EMF meter.
It's an electromagnetic field meter, correct?
Correct.
What does it do? How does it work?
It just picks up the any sort of electrical field that you would have. It has a real application in electronics for electricians. If you would hold that meter near a power source, you're going to see it rise in the magnetic field. Magnetic fields are fixed, however. They don't move from one place to another on their own. So when we're looking for a change in this field, we're looking for one that we can't explain, one that doesn't make sense. Those that are there and then gone and we cannot recreate, those are the ones we're looking for.
And you bring thermal probes out into the field with you. That would, of course, detect the change in temperature. I also read that you bring Geiger counters with you. Why would you do that?
Again, in theory, it's thought that spirit activity can cause a rise in ions in the air. And those ions attach themselves to radiation, which would increase the radiation, the background radiation that's normal. That's just another theory, you know.
And then you bring audio recorders, both digital and analog?
Yes.
Why?
Well, you don't need anything fancy to do this. You could buy a recorder for $15 somewhere, and it's going to do the same job as a $200 recorder. I've gotten EVPs on all sorts of different equipment, cassette, mini cassette.
What does EVP stand for?
Electronic voice phenomena. Just a fancy name for recording, asking questions, leaving a pause for responses, and then when you go back and amplify, sometimes there's a voice there.
Now, so it's true that there are times when you will not hear voices, but they show up on the tape later?
Most often, anytime it's an EVP, you don't hear the voice while you're recording. It's upon playback and amplification that you may hear something.
And then there's also photography. Why do you still use old-fashioned 35mm film?
Typically, we're pulling away from that more because of the digital cameras becoming a little bit more reliable. But in the past, we used 35mm film or regular film because it helped to have more integrity. If you were to get something on camera or on your film, you have a negative to work with. You have something to prove.
And it's something that hasn't been Photoshopped yet.
Correct.
Right? You can Photoshop a digital
Correct.
Picture. What do ghosts look like on film?
Well, I mean, there have been many different photographs of spirit activity on film, but they all present themselves a little differently. Some people have seen it very fleshy and real-looking, like you and I, or others have seen mists, maybe like black blobs that have no form to them. Others have seen an outline, like a clear outline of something but nothing visibly with features.
How about the pictures you've taken? The pictures you've taken, what do they look like?
I've only got a very few, and it's kind of like a paramount thing to get a photograph of something like that. The few I've gotten are more outlined, where you can see a defined shape, but yet there is no visible features.
And why do you pack extra batteries?
Because we talked about spirits pulling energy out of things. Not only do they take it out of the air, but they take it out of our batteries as well. We've been on several investigations where that has happened. Put in fresh batteries, and all of a sudden, completely drained.
We're talking to Sean Blaschka, Angie Spielek, and Sharon Abbotts of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society. These folks actually go out and investigate reports of haunting. They get calls from people who ask them to go out and look into things that might be happening in their home or their workplace. They've also written a book called Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. What about you? Do you believe in ghosts? Have you had an experience of the paranormal that you can't explain? We're talking about haunted locations in and around Wausau, but this show goes much further than that. If you live in, say, Park Falls or Hayward or Wisconsin Rapids or Stevens Point, Marshfield, are there locations where you're at that there are stories connected with them? We've got wide open phone lines right now, and I'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
I get confused, but I don't know where I stand. And then you smile and hold my hand. Love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Our guests, members of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, and we want to hear from you. Have you experienced something that you believe to be a ghost? Do you believe in them? Do you not believe in them? What about the town that you live in? Are there any stories connected with historic buildings or sites or workplaces where the locals swear, or maybe you swear, that they're haunted? 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open. If you call right now, you can get right through. Sean, Angie, and Sharon, well, maybe I should go back to Sean again. And in the advanced publicity for this show, I used the word Ghostbusters, and you took offense at that. Tell me why.
There's nothing I love more than the old Ghostbuster movies. However, again, it's just a movie. Ghostbuster, that term itself, is meant to explain more that a person is actually removing spirits from a residence or a building. And I just don't want people to have the impression that that's what we do, that we throw on our backpacks and we go out and zap ghosts and contain them somewhere. That's certainly not the fact. In fact, we don't know how to remove spirits from a place.
Have the three of you together, when you've been out in the field, ever collectively experienced something that you think was a ghost? Sharon, Angie?
Well, we have gotten some EVPs together on investigations that we were on. We got a very good one that's on our website, actually, and it was from a business on the west side of Wausau here You can hear Sean, he's talking, and he's asking, is there anyone here who has a message for us or something that you'd like to tell us? And there's a very distinct male voice that says, get out. I think EVPs are really the thing that we get the most.
And when you experience that, you experience changes in temperature and the things that Sean was talking about that typically go along with that, Sharon?
I actually was not on that investigation, so I really couldn't give you any background on that. Obviously, when we have been on investigations, we're not all on the same one. Individual people have had experiences during the investigation that I have not seen at the same time, but that doesn't mean that their experience isn't real.
What explanations do you have for why a place might be haunted, why a spirit might be hanging around long after the person died?
Well, there are a large number of things that could have happened. It is believed that there's a possibility that people are staying at least after a recent death to give information to loved ones to make sure that the people that they've left behind are okay. There are also times when a ghost may be present because they're trying to stay attached to a building or a piece of land that they love.
The Wausau Paranormal Research Society. We've got to take a quick break for news. Darren's in Eagle River. Hang on. We'll take your call right after the break. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I just moved to my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got sweat on me. Bell started ringing, the chains are rattling out. I do I move in a haunted house? Still a bit of my mind to stay. And nothing was gonna drive me away. But when I seen something gave me the creeps.
I'm Glenn Mober. Today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, we're talking about haunted houses, haunted buildings, haunted locations, and a group that investigates them, the Wausau Paranormal Research Society. We have with us today three members of that organization, Sean Blaschka, also Angie Spilek, and Sharon Abbotts. They have written a book together called Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. We're going to be going through some of the locations that are allegedly haunted in Wausau, but we do want to hear from you. Do you know of any haunted locations in your hometown, any stories that you'd like to share with us? 1-800-780-9742. And we're going to go right to the phones and talk to Darren's in Eagle River. Darren's here on Route 51.
Hi, it's Gretchen, but
oh, Gretchen, okay.
Yes, I work in a grocery store, and we do have someone that shows up on a fairly regular basis, and we know who it is. He's a former employee, and he died unexpectedly, although not in the store itself, but he shows up in two of the departments he used to work in.
What does he look like when he shows up? Can you see right through him, or does he look like he's completely materialized?
I have only seen him as a quick, fuzzy gray feature. But there have been two or three other employees that have seen him in person.
Sean, Angie, Sharon, you want to ask Gretchen a question about this?
Well, there are two kinds of haunts when people think of a haunting. And I guess my question would be, when he shows up, does he try to communicate? Does he seem like he is aware that other people are there?
Oh, yes, he's aware that, in fact, he, one of the departments he works in, the only time we see him is we work an overnight shift where we're there from 10 in the morning till 6. Or 10 at night, till 6 in the morning. And the store is closed during that time period. And he has actually, in one of the departments he worked in the most, which was frozen foods, he has actually taken things off the shelf and thrown them on the floor. And one of the other women that works there has seen this happen. It fly off the floor, and she's gone over and looked at it, and it's been out of date.
So he's making sure everybody's still doing their job then?
Yes, although on occasion I think he does it just to give us a hard time because he was a prankster.
Okay.
Gretchen, does this creep you out at all, or do you feel that he doesn't have any bad intentions toward you?
Yeah, he has no bad intentions. If anything, it's just, like I said, he was a prankster before, and although we used to see him more often in the early part of the year, I have not seen or I've not heard of anybody else seeing him around at all recently. In the last 3 to 4 months, I haven't heard of anybody seeing him at all.
Okay.
But previous to that, once every couple of weeks to once every couple of months would not have been unusual.
Gretchen, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to share any experiences you have with paranormal activity, let's go to Bob. I believe it's in Fifield. Bob, you're on Route 51.
Hi. Yeah, I don't know if the researchers have heard anything about Coolidge. Coolidge was a abandoned logging town between Phillips and Fifield on Old Highway 13. It was owned by the Brown and Atwell Lumber Company at the turn of the century, and apparently an epidemic had went through one time, and there was multiple deaths of children there. There's been numerous incidents of hauntings and apparitions, and mostly everything is vocal. A well-known historian from the area named Buffalo Rogers, a very colorful character here from Price County, actually in a Haunted Wisconsin book talked about the ghost choir of Coolidge at Fifield, and the sound of basically children singing. Multiple people that have lived in the area have seen apparitions. The railroad grade that runs through that area, the railroad line, a lot of the conductors and so on back in the Sioux Line in Wisconsin Central days saw mysterious lights passing through Coolidge.
Does this all happen in one building or one location or one abandoned spot or in multiple locations?
What it is it's basically an abandoned area of ruins. There's old building foundations, and when you cross the main line of the railroad tracks and go up on a hill, there's an area where the big cistern well for the entire village would have been, and that is typically where most of the vocalizations and things take place, to the point where even a person metal detecting there had left their backpack and their metal detector in between three birch trees and had walked back to grab a lunch at their vehicle. And when they returned, all those items were gone, and they'd been moved about 150 feet onto the edge of a marsh. And that was actually photographed and well documented. So there's been, I guess, those poltergeist-type naughty activities where it's prankster. I personally have heard a lot of whistling, like a somber tune, and turned around and not had anybody be there. It's more vocalizations, but it's Coolidge, old abandoned ghost town on Highway 13 between Fifield and Phillips.
What do you think, guys?
Sounds like road trip.
Yeah.
there's actually a section of graves that are kind of sunk up on top of the hill, not far from that well, and that seems to be the area where kids, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, everybody thought they were going to take their turn at trying to take a shovel full out of that soil, and that didn't work really very well for a lot of people. They ran out of there more scared than they had went in.
Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. It's fascinating, and I think our group here is going to take you up on that and maybe check it out. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jennifer in Athens. We are talking about paranormal activity in north central Wisconsin. Jennifer, you're on Route 51 with the Wausau Paranormal Research Society.
Hi. You know, this would have been great. My daughter did a research paper on this recently for high school. It would have been wonderful. She could have listened to the show. But it's a quick story. My husband and I were married on a Saturday. His mother lived with us. She passed away on a Tuesday, the following Tuesday. And about a month or so later, my daughter was in bed, my husband was in bed, I was turning out the lights. We live in a little ranch-style house, and you have to turn a corner to go to our bedroom. All three bedrooms are, you know, kind of in a row. And Bernice's bedroom was straight ahead of me with the door closed. And I saw her standing there. I could see the door behind her. She had her glasses on. She had had a walker and oxygen when she lived with us, but she didn't have that. And she was just standing there, and then she was gone. And that was it. That's the only experience I've had. She hasn't come back. But I guess my feeling was that she wanted me to tell my husband, her son, that she was okay, because I don't think he'd be open to seeing that.
We have all three of our guests nodding in agreement with you. Is this a common experience?
I think it is common for family members to want to stick around for a little bit just to make sure that you're dealing okay, let you know that they're all right.
Jennifer, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for sharing your experience with us.
Sure, thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-780-9742. If you've encountered a ghost, if you believe in them, or maybe you don't, or if you know of haunted locations that maybe we're overlooking in your neck of the woods, in your hometown, 1-800-780-9742. We are here with the Wausau Paranormal Research Society. What's your methodology, Angie, when you go out into the field and you do this research? Somebody calls you up, says we might have a haunting here. What steps do you take in order to check it out?
Well, when someone calls us, I just want to point out that we do not charge. We investigate for free.
How do you fund your research then?
Well, we fund our research actually through the downtown Wausau tours that we
okay.
do every October. That's our fundraiser. So when we hear from someone, if possible, we try to look into the history of their home. And when we go in to investigate, what we're trying to do is to debunk the activity. If they are hearing noises, then we try to look for things in the plumbing or look at wires outside the house to see if one is banging up against the house to cause that tapping noise. If a door is opening to a closet, then we will try to see if maybe opening one of the main doors of the house is causing the air pressure to do that. And I think that's the main thing that we try to do. A lot of times we help families out. They think that they have something, you know, demonic going on, and it turns out it's really just a cable flapping in the wind.
So you go in there with the idea that there's probably nothing happening. How many times do you run into situations that you can't explain? What's the percentage?
I would say maybe 10% of the time we're unable to explain it.
And, Sean, tell us what your mission is with this group. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I think Angie kind of answered that a little bit. Our main goal in the group originally was research and to find more activity that all of us have sort of experienced. However, I think over the years that's flipped more to our main goal being helping those families or businesses to cope with whatever may be in, you know, in their house or their business, make them feel more at ease, or debunk some of the things that are going on so that they can feel a little bit less uncomfortable where they're at.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742 and talk about some of the haunted locations in Wausau. The book is called Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Don't bring no ghosts in the front, come around to the back door.
So
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to members of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society about any ghostly experiences you may have had, or of any haunted locations in your hometown that maybe we don't know about. Sean Blaschka, Angie Spilek, and Sharon Abbotts, the authors of Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. Let's go through some of these locations. We only got about 10 minutes. Let's see how many we can hit. First of all, the Grand Theater and the Opera House that preceded it.
Okay, I can talk about that one. The Grand Theater actually has been a hot spot. It was one of the first places that I investigated when I started doing this. We were just discussing on break about that. You had asked about have you ever gotten an EVP and a change in atmosphere conditions during that? And a matter of fact, when I was there, we had that happen. As we approached the room where I got this EVP from, we had a change in a magnetic field where it would rise erratically. And we also had a change in temperature where it had dropped several degrees. I did my EVP in there, and upon reviewing it the next morning, that's when I heard the voice that was on the tape. And it was a gruff, older gentleman voice, and it says, "Please," or it says, "Don't come back over here."
Who do they think the ghost is? Anybody have any ideas?
The common, well-known person is Larry Belt, who was a stage manager at Grand Theater for many, many years and loved the theater very much. So it goes without, you know, saying that he probably has stayed behind.
Well, let's move across the street. What used to be the Rogers Theater, now the Fillmore, a music venue. Some frightening things encountered by some workers in the basement of that location. Sharon?
Actually, that's where one of our most exceptional EVPs comes from. Sean and several other investigators were in the basement, and they were doing an EVP session, and I believe that Sean tripped. And later on, when they listened to the EVP, the tape, they heard someone say, "Sean, that'd be cool." I believe it was in response to something Sean said.
And the story is that there were some workmen there, and all the seats in the theater started flapping up and down by themselves. Is that true? Did they experience that?
Yes. The workers that were in the building overnight, they were removing seats from that same area where Sharon talked about. We got that EVP. There were just two guys in there, and when they were there, they heard this noise, looked up, and saw the seats bouncing toward the front row. And then they decided to leave, and as they were leaving, they heard more noise behind them, and they said they could see the other chairs closer to the aisle rocking as if someone were walking behind them and running their hands over the backs of the seats.
Let's move. We've already talked about the Wausau Club, the historic mansion downtown. Shepherd and Schaller Sporting Goods. We have a ghostly apparition apparently in the basement near a tunnel that used to connect Shepherd and Schaller with the Wausau Club. Who wants to take that one?
I'll talk about that one. Yes, Shepherd and Schaller is supposedly haunted by the ghost of Eddie, who was thought to be a custodian for JCPenney. The building used to be JCPenney in the 1920s. And Eddie watches over the employees' work, kind of like we had talked about earlier with the canned goods. Eddie makes himself known when the employees there are goofing off and not doing what they're supposed to do. He will set off the door alarm, move merchandise off of the shelves, and he was seen, like you mentioned, in the basement there is a tunnel. And when the building used to be the Wausau Pilot newspaper was when this tunnel went from Shepherd and Schaller to the Wausau Club. And
was that during Prohibition to move liquor back and forth? Is that what they think?
That was during Prohibition, yeah, that's the idea.
Let's move one block west to the Landmark Building, which is a landmark. It's a huge building in downtown Wausau. It used to be a very luxurious place, the Hotel Wausau, when it was built in the 20s.
The Hotel Wausau was built in 1924, and it was considered one of the most luxurious hotels in the country. For a number of years now, it's been the landmark apartments. And people that live there have reported to us that they hear the piano playing in the lobby, and as they approach and get to where it's within view, the music will abruptly stop and no one's there. They also claim that things are moved around in their apartments. They disappear and show up in odd locations. And an apparition of an elderly woman has been spotted there as well.
And then a block east of Shepherd and Schaller is the Elks Club, which is also the site of the home of lumberman John C. Clark, who was a former sheriff and mayor in the early days of Wausau.
Well, there's a huge mirror that is inside the front door, and people have said that they've been drawn to the mirror as though they feel like they're going to be pulled into it. There's also an apparition of a man all in white who's been seen at the bar as though he's requesting a drink.
And is it true that they find poker hands lying on the table in what used to be the downstairs game room?
That is what workers who have spoken with us have said.
These are all places in downtown. They're all within one city block of each other, which is pretty phenomenal. Let's talk about the campus we're on right now, UW-Marathon County. We have Annie, the female custodian, and the blue cowboy in room 308 of the residence hall.
Yep, that's what we're told. Actually, I had a connection here when Todd Roll was here, and because he had worked here. And they came to him about a perplexing haunt in the UW campus. And frankly, it was a little unusual when they said a blue cowboy. But the reason they call it that is they're seeing this man who's exiting the closet in room 308 in the middle of the night, and he has a bluish glow to him. And he's wearing a hat, and they refer to it as a cowboy hat or a fedora, something of that nature.
Then we had Mountview Sanatorium. In the 20s, it was a tuberculosis ward, later becomes the Sunnyvale Infirmary, then Mountview Manor. And at one point, it was a children's shelter. And the kids used to receive unexplained visitors, according to your book.
That's correct. Over the years, that building went through a lot of changes, as you've already said. And, yes, so the residents there would sometimes hear arguing out in the hallway, especially in the old children's preventorium or shelter home now. And they would approach, the staff would approach this argument. It sounded like two men arguing about something, and then it would dissipate. And no one could ever make out exactly what was being said.
And we have just basically scratched the surface. There are many, many more haunted sites in this book, Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. The Wausau Paranormal Research Society, Sean Blaschka, Angie Spilek, and Sharon Abbotts. Sean, if people want to get in touch with you, what can they do?
All they need to do is go on the Internet and put in WPRS.net, and that is our website. And you can contact any of us on that website under our members page. Click on the name of the person you want to talk to, and shoot us an email.
And what's the website again?
www.wprs.net.
Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Special music today by Johann Sebastian Bach and the St. Martin's London Symphony Orchestra, Classics 4, Bessie Smith, Michael Oldfield, Roy Buchanan, and Cream. Next Thursday on Route 51, we bring you highlights from a forum held this week that asks the question, whatever happened to good government? With Jay Heck of Common Cause, Democrat Donna Seidel, Republicans Walter John Chilson and Kevin Hermaning, Eric Giordano of UW-Marathon County, and Rob Menser of the Wausau Daily Herald. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, and WHAA 89.1 FM Adams, Wisconsin Rapids. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.